This is the American Ag Network Week in Review. In the show today, Rusty Halverson gets us caught up on the week's top news.
Bayer Crop Science hosting a media virtual tour this past week. We visited with Andy Knapp about a new carbon initiative that Bayer is looking after.
So I'm the head of environmental strategy and industry activation.
Okay, well, we're visiting on this Bayer virtual media tour day, and today we're going to talk about carbon. And that is an issue and a topic that has been widely talked about in the Dakotas and Minnesota, the upper Midwest and beyond for several years. And as I understand, Bayer has a new initiative underway. Can you tell us a little bit more about what you've got going on?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, what we're doing with this new initiative is really looking to create an opportunity for farmers to participate financially in efforts to sequester carbon. So really thinking about the opportunity for a new revenue stream on the farm based on, you know, implementing climate smart practices.
Now, some folks might think this is just a fuzzy, feel-good kind of story, but we can actually make a difference when it comes to the environment, when it comes to our global climate, through carbon sequestration efforts.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think agriculture represents a tremendous opportunity. You know, our soils that we're blessed to farm throughout the U.S. are you know, absolutely a critical step, I think, in helping us sequester carbon. And again, it creates this opportunity that, you know, we've been working on for a number of years, sort of behind the scenes, and it's sort of culminated now in saying, okay, how do we actually take the science that we've developed and parlay that into an opportunity for farmers to actually be, again, financially rewarded for their work.
Yeah, and that's the thing, you know, being rewarded for efforts that farmers make, and obviously farmers, ranchers, the best stewards of the land. What kind of goals do you have in mind?
Yeah, so, I mean, I think for us, the goal is we want to test out a process. We want to, you know, do this on a large scale. So we're trying to work with, you know, up to around 1,200 farmers is kind of the target. You know, ultimately, the goal is to say, you know, we see these, you know, farmers as innovators. We see them as astute business owners, as you aptly called out. They've been, I think, highly recognized as good stewards of the land. Anybody that's worked with farmers, like I have in my career, know that. You know, the goal would be, let's reward them, and hopefully then that's recognized, you know, not just by people that work in the agriculture community, but by everyone else as well.
Absolutely. Now, how long have you been involved in this effort? How many months or years has this kind of been in the blueprint kind of planning kind of stages, now that we're getting ready to launch and work with those 1,200 farmers or so that you were discussing?
Yeah, so this is really the result of a number of years of work in creating and validating a science-based approach. So, you know, I can take you back to 5 or more years ago when we really started working on the science. And our perspective was we really wanted to make sure that we, in our own minds, had you know, a really strong scientific background and validation of our assumptions and our assertions before we really started to move out and launching this to the growers.
Now, what are some of the small steps that we're going to be taking for carbon sequestration efforts? Are we talking cover crops? Are we talking more no-till farming? Other things that we're going to try and put into operations? Can you give me just an overview of what you'd like to accomplish there?
Yeah, you actually just absolutely hit it on the head. You know, we're looking at sort of three triggers, maybe two really. It's reducing tillage, moving to no-till or to strip-till practices, as well as the cover crop component. It's an either or a both if the farmer's interested. But it's really those types of what we would call climate smart farming practices that we're asking farmers to adopt in this. And, you know, once we have reviewed and understood, verified that they're eligible for the program once we, try and provide them some technical support from our field sales technical agronomist. And then we verify the fact that they've actually made these changes in their operation. We'll go ahead and pay them a flat rate per acre that they have enrolled. So it's meant to be a fairly simple and a streamlined process. And to your point, it's the triggers and the mechanisms are really around reduced tillage and cover cropping.
Okay. Now, you're working with a small group of farmers to get this initiative underway. For the listeners that hear this and may be curious, may be wanting to get involved, maybe want to learn more because of the practices that they want to establish on their operation or the things that they're already doing on their operation, where should they go? Who should they talk to kind of learn more and just visit more at length about what you've got going on?
Right. So the first thing that they can do is we do have a website, bayercarbon.com/interest. This is a place where farmers can go to learn more and express interest. As well, if they have a connection to a local Bayer representative, they can certainly reach out to that individual and learn more. So two options for them.
Okay, wonderful. Any final thoughts before I let you go? It's a great topic. It's something that's going to be on the radar for many, many years. Any final thoughts?
No, I just think, to your point, this is a big picture issue. But I think our hope is that we can keep farmers at the center of this broader conversation and make sure that they are realizing financially the opportunity that carbon does represent on their farm. And if we can help facilitate that by enrolling them, that's our goal.
We also visited with Josh Vandewall about the Bayer Plus Rewards Program. Today we're going to talk about the Bayer Plus Rewards Program. And Josh, it's been such a successful program in the past. A lot of growers have really embraced it. This past season, lots of rewards to be given out to farmers that participate. And obviously, we're not through the harvest of 2020 quite yet, but we're obviously planning for 2021. So can you give us a rundown just of what you've got going on?
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for the opportunity. Bayer Plus Rewards was its first season was in 2020, so just last year. And we're just reconciling and getting ready to pay out those rewards later this fall. And we've had a great response from our growers, over 50,000 growers. And we're looking forward to what we can do together in 2021. Because of that success, we haven't changed the program dramatically for 2021. So if the grower is enrolled already, they don't have to enroll again. But we do have a couple of changes, and we'll talk about that here in a little bit. But we're looking forward to it. It's hard to believe that we're into harvest already, and we're thinking about 2021, but that's where we are.
Yeah. And I was visiting today on this Wednesday for the Bayer Virtual Media Tour, and I was visiting not long ago about Field View with one of your colleagues from the Climate Corporation, and that's kind of a new little facet that can be incorporated into the Bayer Plus Rewards program, something that growers should keep in mind as we do look out to the future.
Yeah, absolutely. It's an exciting new offer that we have for 2021, and all a grower needs to do is they need to be enrolled in Bayer Plus Rewards, and they link their Climate Field View email. When they do that, they will get an additional 1 year free of Field View Plus for the next year. So it's an exciting opportunity to even show even more value and opportunity for our growers.
Yeah, and when we talk about Bayer Plus, we're talking about earning cash back all year round by choosing products from a broad portfolio and for several different crops and several different products, Josh. You've got a lot of options out there for the growers.
Yeah, absolutely. We've got a lot of options, which is some of the beauty in this program, and growers really have a lot of choices that they can choose from, whether it be our national branded seed, the DeKalb Asgrow and Delta Pine, our herbicides, insecticides, fungicides, And we even have a partner in Valent, which is a brand new category we have for 2021 called the Partner Products Incentive. So a lot of flexibility for our growers to choose those agronomic solutions that make sense for them and get rewarded for that.
Yeah, and, you know, maybe when it comes to mind, we're talking corn, we're talking wheat, we're talking soybeans, but you have such a broad portfolio. We're also talking, you know, when it comes to a nationwide scale, talking about citrus, we're talking about sugar beets, which obviously are a big factor in the Red River Valley of North Dakota and Minnesota and other areas of the Northern Plains. Talking about potatoes, too, another big item that we grow in the Red River Valley. So many different options out there, Josh. And obviously, you've been working to kind of massage the program and try and incorporate as many products as possible.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And, you know, we do have those other crops. They're not always as much and focused in the Midwest with our oranges and things like that, potatoes, but they are very important in the U.S. ag economy, and especially in those geographies. And we have, you know, specific components for those specific geographies that are available through Bayer Plus as well. And, you know, our goal is to make this a seamless experience for the growers, particularly in those geographies, and they still have opportunities to see their earnings and all that within the Bayer Plus portal.
Yeah. Now, when it comes to Bayer Plus, can you tell our listeners a little bit about the partner incentives category?
Yes. So the partner product incentives is new for 2021. In this case, our partner is Valent, and they have several products that kind of round out the agronomic story, particularly in the pre-soybean herbicide space. And this kind of allows our growers to choose, again, agronomic solutions that make sense for them and get rewarded for that. So it's additional earning opportunity as well, because it's a separate earning category within Bayer Plus. But if you don't take my word for it, you can check it out on our calculator that just got updated at mybayerplus.com/calculator, and you can see what it means for you.
Okay. Now, if a grower was enrolled in the 2020 program, do they need to re-enroll for the 2021 program? And will some of those program rewards roll over from 2020 into 2021, Josh?
So on enrollment, they will not need to enroll again. So once you've enrolled, you are good to go for 2021. On the earnings piece, they are distinct to the specific market year. So the rewards will not roll over. So we are obviously finishing up the 2020 season right now. The 100% of those rewards will become available in November. Those will be eligible for redemption all the way through April 30th. And then the cycle starts again on May 1st. Growers will be able to see all their rewards and earnings and be able to cash out up to half of what they've earned based on what's in starting in May. And so those rewards from 2020 that will then expire at the same time. So distinct market years, but only need to enroll once.
Elsewhere this week, it is not too late to respond to the 2020 census. And it's important, too. We visited with Kevin Iverson in the North Dakota Census Office.
I'm the Census Office Manager at the North Dakota Department of Commerce in Bismarck.
Okay. We're going to talk about the 2020 census today and why the census is important to the state of North Dakota. And we were talking off mic just a moment ago, Kevin. 40% of North Dakotans live in rural populations, and every person needs to be counted in the 2020 census. And we need to get that message out there that rural folks still need to be counted because it's so important.
Yeah, it's absolutely critical. And not only does the census drive the legislative districts or the congressional districts, the distribution of congressional districts, but it's also used for the distribution of federal funds. In fact, George Washington University estimated there were 316 federal programs that use census data for the distribution of funds from the federal government. And the state of North Dakota also uses the same data to distribute funds out to the local areas.
Now, North Dakota Medicare and Medicaid consists of over $500 million in census-mandated federal funding. And that's another reason why the census is so important to the state of North Dakota.
It's huge. We estimate, you know, not only Medicare and Medicaid, but school programs, road construction, you name it, in just about anything that you touch in terms of a public asset is somehow impacted by the distribution of funds driven by the decennial census.
Now, since the 2010 census, Kevin, North Dakota, we've seen a big increase in workers that come and go, but also that use services daily. Who should be counted in this 2020 census?
So anybody that was living in the state of North Dakota as of April 1st, 2020, should be counted in the state for census purposes. So even individuals that, say, are stationed at the military bases or college students, those individuals are counted as residents of North Dakota for the census. And that's because they're using those goods and services. They're spending the majority of their time in that area. So they're driving on those roads. Their kids are in school and so on. So it's not what your driver's license says, what license plates you have on your car. It's where you're spending the majority of your time.
Okay. And when we talk about being on the road, from the numbers I have in front of me, Kevin, 87,688, the number of roadway miles across North Dakota that benefit from federal funds for construction and maintenance. And obviously, maybe people don't connect the dots on that, but census numbers can affect that kind of funding too.
Absolutely. I've heard about 80% of the funding for road construction in North Dakota comes from the federal government. And again, much of that funding is determined by the count of individuals in the decennial census.
And we're obviously very proud of all of our active duty military that reside in North Dakota, over 6,500 folks there, and we want them to be counted as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Everybody who resides in North Dakota needs to be counted here. And the fact is, those individuals are using goods and services in this area. They're driving on those public roads. They're passing over bridges. You know, none of us think in terms of how expensive those are to fund those things, or how expensive it is to build a new school building or build a new hospital. But those things are all enormously expensive. You know, one of the things that I found that I wish we would spend a lot more time when we file our taxes at looking at where that money is going that we're paying in, rather than looking at how much money we're getting back, because that has a huge impact. And much of that impact is occurs in a local area. And the distribution of funds, again, that's driven by our census response.
Yeah. Again, the facts that I have in front of me, some of the talking points. In the 2010 census, 4.9% of the indigenous population was missed. It's so important for those folks also to file out their census.
Yeah, it's huge. It's a huge issue. And that means all of those programs that benefit American Indian places in North Dakota are impacted or underfunded. Think of the Indian Health Services Program. Could they use an additional 5% of their budget in the local area? And I think the answer is absolutely yes. And so we need every one of those households counted, not only the household, but every single individual in the household counted.
Yeah, and it's so easy just to go online and fill out the census form. Otherwise, somebody's going to be knocking on your door.
Well, that's what we certainly hope for. It's really easy. You go to the website, my2020census.gov, and it only takes about 5 minutes to complete. Obviously, when people go on that website, we're asking them to be as thorough as they can. We do know in past years, households with children under five have been missed. There was almost 1,000 households with children under five in 2010 that we know those children showed up in other forms of federal data. So we really need people to be very thorough and count every single individual in the state.
Okay. Well, I think we've covered it quite well, Kevin, unless there's something else you'd like to add. And just so you know, my wife and I have filled out the census online, so we are not in trouble.
Okay. Well, I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah. But no.
Just about everybody I talk to tells me they have, but it's the kind of people, I suppose the people that know they'll get a tongue lashing from me if they haven't. So.
Okay. Well, I appreciate your time today, Kevin. I think we've got enough, a lot of good stuff for a commercial, and we'll get the word out, and we'll get her done. We'll get her done.
Cheers. Okay. So the census officially right now, the data collection ends the end of September. So it's important that people do it now. Get online now in the next couple of days and get everything done.
That's what's happening in agriculture. I'm Rusty Halverson for the American Ag Network.
This has been the American Ag Network Week in Review. Thanks for listening. Join us again next week.